All right. Welcome back to Tangible Talks Podcast. Our last episode, Rita gave us a really good introduction to Proverbs and some of the different chapters and just an overview of them, but we weren't unable to get to our favorite Proverbs, and so we really wanted to get a chance to talk about those with you all. And so today's episode, that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be sharing our favorite Proverbs and just kind of going back and forth and discussing them and what they mean to us and why we like them and having a good discussion. So I guess we can go ahead and get going.
Okay. Well, I love that we're just going to continue our discussion on Proverbs, and there's so much to talk about.
Yeah, I think we had a lot more than we initially thought we did.
Yeah. Well, and we also, it's not that we got sidetracked, but we had these stories to tell about what they meant to us. And I think that that is really where we get into the tangible areas. Yes.
All right. And, so do you want to kick us off, or would you like for me to go?
Well, I'll start.
Okay.
If that's okay, because I want to hear yours and I don't want to be thinking about mine while I'm listening to you talk. Isn't that bad?
Well, do you want to share one and then I'll share one, or do you want to just roll them off and then let me roll them off?
No, let's do one at a time. Okay.
I think so too. I think I like that idea.
And so I'm just going to kind of do this in chronological order. So Proverbs 9, 7 through 10. And I want to preface this with, I've struggled with this. And the first time I heard it, I was like, this doesn't make any sense. So, whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instructions to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. So the version that I originally read this in was basically said, correct a scoffer. You should correct somebody who's doing something they shouldn't be doing. And then the next verse was, don't do it. And I couldn't put that together. And what I walked away with was, if you're dealing with someone who isn't very wise, you can't, it's a no-win situation. Mm. It's just absolutely a no-win situation. Yeah. Because they're going to hate you if you don't say anything. And then if you say something, they're going to verbally abuse you. And they're going to be fired up. And it's not going to be pretty.
But yeah, and I think we can probably all think back to moments in our lives where we've encountered people like that, where no matter what you do, it's going to be wrong.
Mm-hmm. And so it took me a while to figure that out. Should I? Should I not? And actually, that's because I struggled with it in life. Mm. And then when I finally realized, well, it doesn't do any good, that I understood, reprove a wise man and he will love you. And look at the difference between what a scoffer does and what a wise person does. Mm. Wise person will come back and say, thank you. That really helped me.
And yeah. That takes some humility. Oftentimes. I mean, I know sometimes when I've been given advice that maybe I didn't really want to hear, but I knew deep down it was right. Having the humility and being humble enough to go back and admit that and to appreciate it. I mean, that takes a lot of wisdom too.
Well, it takes wisdom. And so to be humble, you've had to get wisdom. You've had to become acquainted with wisdom. And, you know, we're calling this the Get Wisdom episode, which is probably number two. But if you get wisdom, then you will automatically, what will come with that will be you act humbly.
Yep.
And you become wiser. It's just the benefits of it. And then it goes on to say, give instruction to a wise man and he will be still wiser. So that tells me that we'll never get it all. We will always continue to learn. And if we come at it in a humble way, then we're going to just increase in wisdom. And then the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we, you know, last week we found out that to fear the Lord is to hate evil.
Mm-hmm.
And the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Now, I'm still pondering on that one, but I like it. I really like it. Insight, being able to see into a situation. Wouldn't you want to have insight on a particular situation? So that one is a favorite of mine.
Yeah, I like it. So self-admittedly, Rita mentioned that we thought we should do our favorite proverbs. And so in the outline that I was reading, it said, Jana, do you have favorite proverbs? ? And so I mentioned this last episode, I'm just not good at memorizing scripture. So I went back to my Bible, and I've had this Bible for a long time. It's been the main one I've used for the past, I guess, right at a decade. Anyway, I was like, well, let me flip through here. Maybe I've highlighted something that, you know, really spoke to me back in the day. Flip through it. Nothing highlighted. I was like, my goodness, you know, this is so pitiful. But I don't think that I've spent a ton of time in Proverbs, like reading it straight through. The main Proverbs that I have read come from seasons where I'll do like the Bible in a year and I'll be on an app. And so a lot of times those have a Proverbs attached to your daily devotional. And so I think I have mostly read Proverbs from my iPhone, but nothing was coming to me. So I had to go back and flip through it. And so I did a deep dive into it. And these are the ones that were my favorites. But I wanted to share that just to be transparent, because I don't want you to think that I have all of this memorized, that these like really weigh on my heart all the time. They don't. I had literally, when she asked, I was like, nothing has come to my mind, which is so sad. But I just want to be transparent with you. I'm learning. I'm trying to grow. And so if you're out there and you feel similarly, like I'm right here with you. Okay. So these are some of the ones that stuck out to me when I was really diving in and flipping through it. So the first one is Proverbs 11, verse 2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. And we touched on this just a second ago, that humility aspect of what your favorite verse was as well. But I think I liked this a lot, and I have learned to be this way. When you have an arrogance or a pride about you, or when you find your self-worth in being the best at something or having a really high, people have to have a high opinion of you. You can't ever make a mistake. You know, that pride, there is going to be a moment when you're wrong about something or you do something that you're not proud of. Maybe that's from your past. Somebody can find out about it. But when you are prideful, those are the moments where disgrace can really cut you down and can cut your reputation. But when you act with humility, when you're wise and you are truthful and humble and you practice humility, you own up, you take accountability for your mistakes, then it doesn't own you. It doesn't possess you anymore. You're not trying to keep this image up. You're just yourself. And that is such a freeing thing. Like, I know changing careers, for example, and going from being a teacher to being a data analyst, I'm still very new in my role, in my career. And I always fear that somebody's not going to find me, you know, qualified enough to work on their project or something. But really, at the end of the day, if I am honest and transparent about what I know and doing the best work that I can do, practicing humility, owning up when I don't know something, you know, that nothing is going to happen that ruins my reputation like that. So humility is something that we all can learn to overcome our fears, our anxieties, by practicing humility and just taking accountability for what we know and what we do.
And when you're older, and you've seen a few generations, you recognize pride when it walks in your door. Someone doesn't have to say very much, and you can just recognize it's pride. Mm-hmm. And generally, arrogance accompanies it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they go hand in hand.
Uh-huh. Like wisdom and prudence.
Yep.
Not wisdom and pride. Doesn't happen. Mm. And so now that I'm older and I can recognize when someone is just out of control with pride, I know it is not going to end well. And I know that I know what's coming. And I'm not a fortune teller at all. It's just if you read scripture, then you see what happens, which when you said when pride comes, then comes disgrace.
Yeah. And I have another one that I'll go ahead and mention because it's very similar. It's Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall.
Yes, that's my second favorite. Oh, really? Pride goes before destruction.
Mm-hmm.
You see someone in a lot of pride, a fall's coming. It's not going to be pretty. But if when they fall, they learn from it, then it's not a mistake. It will not take their life. Hopefully, it will not. And they can dust themselves off and become acquainted with wisdom and get up and go, and then they can help others. But pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And I can tell you, I've seen that every time. It may not happen immediately, but anyone that I've seen in pride, it has not turned out well.
Yeah, and the moments that I can think about are when people are too prideful to forgive, or they're too prideful to say, I'm sorry.
Mm.
And they just never, they let that quarrel or whatever happened, they let that ruin a relationship, and the two people are too prideful to move past it.
I practiced at saying I'm sorry and asking for forgiveness with my daughters. They were very young when I was starting out on my Christian walk, and I would be wrong about something. And I knew I was wrong about it, and I knew they saw me, and I knew they knew I was wrong. I would just stop, and at first it was so hard. I would say, I'm sorry. I was wrong. I shouldn't have. And I would specify what I shouldn't have. I did not talk in general terms. Well, and then I would never follow it with an excuse. I shouldn't have lost my temper, but I told you you need to do, and then I have done this, and then I'm so tired. That, no. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me?
Taking accountability. And I think it's so important to do that with kids. I know I learned this with teaching. Me apologizing when I didn't always have the best reaction. Because again, kids can really rile you up sometimes. I always made a point to go back and find that student that day, if possible, unless it was like the last period of the day. And I would tell them, I'm sorry. That should not have been my reaction. This is what I should have done instead. And I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And every time I could tell, they weren't used to that. I don't think that was something that many teachers did or many people in their life have done, because you could tell they were just sort of shocked. Okay. But I knew by me doing that, it would teach them something. Mm-hmm. It would show them, it would demonstrate how we should treat one another, and that might have a ripple effect, and they might remember that, and then go, when they react poorly to somebody, they'll remember and be willing to go apologize. And I think we have to do that for our kids, because they need those good examples of, they watch us and they listen to us, mm-hmm. and they know what we are doing. And so they're going to pick up a lot of our characteristics and a lot of our behaviors. So we want to make sure that they're good.
When you said ripple effect, That is just a really great analogy. And the ripple effect is on you, because even if they come back to where they're not open to you saying, I'm sorry, the fact that you did it will have all kinds of benefits within you.
Yeah. But
they accept it. It just ripples. It'll just play out.
That's a great point. A lot of times you need to just do it for yourself. Mm-hmm. Even if the other person doesn't accept it, you've let it go. So now it no longer holds you. And I will tell you, I don't think I've ever had someone not accept my apology.
I have. and
I know it happens, but I do want to just throw that out there that I think more often than not, people appreciate it.
Yeah. I've had some situations in life, and I think it would fall under the heading of betrayal. And I knew enough of the Word of God to know that I had to let it go. They had not asked for forgiveness, didn't even seem to be concerned about the situation, which, of course, made me mad. And I had to have a really good conversation with God. And what I did was, on a piece of paper, I wrote down everything that I could think of that they did that was wrong, how they wronged me. Then I took that sheet of paper and I tore it up and I put it in the trash can. And I said, God, all I did was throw away a piece of paper. But unless you take it out of my heart, all I did was throw away a piece of paper. And I'm asking you to get it out of my heart like I threw it in the trash can. Get it out of my heart. And that day I didn't forget. Next couple of days, I didn't forget. I could tell you everything on that list. But in a couple of weeks, I had to ponder. Now, what was that? And then within 6 months, even right now, I can't tell you what's on the list. It was a process. And it was for me. And I had to forgive them for me. I needed to practice the forgiveness. And God helped me get through it. And, you know, it sounds like I have all these experiences with God. Maybe I do. Maybe we all do. I just relate it to that. It's a conversation that I have. I remember one day I was saying, God, I never pray to you. All these people are praying and I never pray and I don't understand. Why don't I pray? I should talk to you about this. And I just stopped and I realized I was praying. That when I drive down the street and I'm having a conversation, that's prayer. And I don't even know why I said that, but that was my prayer when I wrote that down. And I ripped up that paper and I threw it away. And I don't know how God did it, but he took that bitterness out of my heart. And I have benefited greatly from it.
Yeah, that makes me think of another one of my favorites when you say that about bitterness. Mm. Yeah, it's Proverbs 14, verse 30. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Mm. And this one says envy, but I think that you could throw in a lot of words there. Mm-hmm. Because I think bitterness and envy can be used interchangeably sometimes. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times bitterness is spawned out of envy. And when you have bitterness in your heart towards someone, it not only impacts that person, but it impacts you. It really does. And so you really need to be mindful of it and not let it consume you and possess you.
And notice in that. That you have a benefit. A tranquil heart gives life to the flesh. Mm-hmm. But envy makes the bones rot. And so you have this wisdom says this is how you should live. And if you don't, you're just going to rot. Which one you taking? And the Proverbs, it's constantly that. It's a verse. The first sentence is one thing. The second sentence is the second thing. Mm-hmm. And it is constant reminding us. And if it was obvious, we wouldn't need the scripture.
Yeah. And it shows you that why. Like, again, this isn't just a, we'll do this because I said so thing. This is a, they're explaining the why.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, it's going to rot the bones. And I could even rephrase that as it eats you alive. And I've seen this in people. Yes. And I think that's why I'm so cognizant of it, is because I've seen people let their bitterness consume them. It consumed their life and it ruined important relationships. And it just didn't have to be that way. It just didn't.
And think about that. The fact that you can see that. And not only that, you can have people come to your mind that fell into that category. So yeah. The fact is we can truly see it to the point that we can even see it with our eyes.
Yeah. And I don't bring that up to point my finger at them. You know, we all have our own issues. I just say that because I know for me, I try to be very observant. And when I think it's easier to see things in other people than yourself sometimes. And so when I see these behaviors in people that I love, then it just kind of like my spidey sense goes up. I'm like, okay, I need to remind myself of that so that I don't follow that same path.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of my favorites is chapter 12, verse 1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid.
Yeah, I have this one too. I like it a lot.
Okay, let's just be blunt. With the word of God, you're stupid. You don't have knowledge. You're just stupid. I'd like to have knowledge. Thank you very much. And so what do I need to do? I need to love discipline. Ooh, I need to love discipline.
And my verse is actually phrased a little differently. So this is the NIV version. Mm-hmm. It says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. And this stood out to me because I used to have a really, really difficult time with criticism. Now, I do think there are levels of criticism. There's constructive criticism, and then there are just seagulls, people who fly into your life, crap on you, and just fly out.
Oh my God, I love that. Seagulls.
I love that too. I heard that from The Minimalist, and I love it because it is. We all know those people. Uh-huh. But constructive criticism, when we get criticism, that's the word that I'm throwing in for correction here. It can be very valuable. And I used to really, really struggle with it in school, in work even, like at home. And I have learned to not take it so personally. And I will still say my first reaction when somebody starts criticizing my work is I immediately just kind of tense up. And I feel it. And I'm like, no, we're not going to do this again. You need to listen. You need to learn. This is a learning opportunity. They are not attacking you personally, but you need to use this as an opportunity to learn. And so I think that I like this verse. And I'm actually going to try to remember this one because it's stupid to think that you know everything and that your ways are right all the time, because they're not. And you've got to be willing to accept other people's criticism of your work sometimes to grow and get better. Because sometimes, yes, seagulls, they're just trying to attack you. Or it's something within them that they're just crapping out on you. But a lot of correction, that's not the case.
I have found that the people who corrected me that were truly interested in me learning and helping me be better, planned a discussion, and we did it privately. It wasn't on a feed on Facebook. And it wasn't in the church standing with everybody could hear. The ones that truly had impact in my life, it was private, and they didn't attack me. They actually presented me with a better way of doing it and taking the high road and not getting down in the weeds and the muck. And those people stand out to me, and I consider them wise. And if any of those people were to call me today and say, I need to talk to you, I would run to them because I know it will be good for me. Because they're not seagulls. My next one is Proverbs 18:1-2. Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Oh, and I have to tell you, I've been there on the first part of that. I'll do it myself. Fine. I'm not going to put up with this.
Yeah.
I'm just, and he breaks out against sound judgment. How many times have we been there? A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. My word.
That one cuts a little bit.
Yeah. I could say what my grandmother would say about people and their opinions, but I can't. But she would express it in no uncertain terms in a very Southern way. And so look at what we're seeing by just looking into these verses, the ones that speak to us, and sharing them with each other. Because this is about pondering. This is about thinking about it. This is about reflection. Oh, I remember a time in my life when, and it's then you move forward. When God convicts us, he speaks softly to us. He doesn't condemn us. And a really good example of that is with Jesus when the woman was caught in the act of adultery. And I get on a soapbox with this because I was like, was she in there all by herself? Where's the? But they brought the woman. And Jesus said, whoever's without sin, cast the first stone. And they all went away. And we know he was sinless. He could have picked up the stone. He could have. He had the right to do it.
You know, I heard somebody talk on this once, and I can't remember who it is, but they were talking about this story, and apparently Jesus kneels down in the sand, and he's writing in the sand. And they said, I like to think that he was writing out their names, or the mistresses that they've slept with.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I like that, because they didn't just... I feel like there was something to that made them realize, like, we're not any better.
Well, you know, if you come into the office of, say, the president, you don't walk in that office the same way you walk in Walmart. There is a presence. There is something there. And there was something about Jesus. And they were in his presence. They were very arrogant, weren't they? Very prideful. They were coming at it. We'll show him. And he knelt down and he wrote in the dirt. And see, what I like to think is that he was reminding himself, they're just dirt. What do I expect dirt to do? You know, we're made of dust. Look at this dust. That's me. That was my takeaway. But Jesus looked at her and he said, where are those that are condemning you? She said, they're gone. And he said, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. And that's how God deals with us when we've made a mistake. He comes to us, we see we weren't right, and he shows us a way out. If you're condemned and you feel like fingers are pointing at you, you fall under condemnation. That is not God. God does not deal with you that way. That's the enemy. Remember, I think in our session on remembering, it was in 1 Corinthians. Love keeps no record of wrong. The enemy keeps a record of wrong. And so if somebody is bringing up your past and your mistakes, it is not God. Look at the beauty in the Proverbs. If you go through it, you're just going, whoa. And that's true. Yes, I've seen that. wow, oh God, help me on this one. Because that's what wisdom, you know what you're doing? You're getting wisdom. What's your next favorite?
Yeah, so I'm trying to think of which one I want to talk about. I think I want to go to 12:15. The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. And I think that ties in exactly with what you just said. And again, I can think of people who, you know, those people who are just always right.
Yeah.
And they come across as so ignorant because you're not always right.
You know what? They generally have a bunch of followers following them thinking they're right.
Well, some people do, but some people don't. I don't know. Well, but I again, I'm not trying to like pick at other people because I have to remember this myself, right? Yeah. That I am not always right. And only the fool thinks all that their ways are always right.
I'm learning to say, I thought I was right, but I could be wrong because I don't know all things. And yeah. And I could have missed it.
Well, isn't it? It's like the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. My next favorite is Proverbs 21, 2 and 3. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. Mm-hmm. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Now, there is scripture in 1 Samuel. And this is where I tie, this is how I connect things. I'm just going to tell you my process of thinking, that righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. And the minute I read that, I thought of 1 Samuel, where King Saul was told by God to go to a certain place and defeat the enemy and utterly destroy them. Leave nothing. Don't take anything. Don't take their gold. Don't take their silver. And Saul didn't follow the command. And so God spoke to Samuel, the prophet, and Samuel went to Saul. And Saul said, oh, I've done everything the Lord told me to do. I followed everything he said to do. And Samuel said, then what's this bleeding in my ear? What's the sound of the cattle and the sheep then? Mm. Oh, we saved the best so that we could sacrifice to the Lord. And Samuel says, the Lord desires you to obey. He desires obedience more than sacrifice. So, you know, if you're sacrificing things because you're trying to present yourself as a martyr, which there are those, God would rather that you obey him. Do what he says do. Now, that cost Saul his kingdom because mm-hmm. he wouldn't obey the Lord, even in the small things. And Saul thought he was right in his own eyes. He thought, well, what's the problem? We'll just keep the cattle and the sheep. We can, you know, do this. And we got a little gold. You know, they had a lot. We can use this in some way. He was justifying mm-hmm. not following the Lord. Justification in his own eyes.
Oh, yeah. And that can be a dangerous little,
you know, that's a little
thing
slippery
we
slope.
All do, probably. Mm-hmm. I know I do it. I can justify just about anything if I really want to with my mind.
We can. Can you stop yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what the scripture does. Because when you relate to this story, and we say it all the time, this story really spoke to me. This really relates to me. Mainly because it probably hit a nerve.
Mm-hmm.
And God's just wanting to show you something. So that verse takes me back to 1 Samuel. And mm-hmm. And that story, and that's how that narrative kind of puts everything in perspective for me.
Mm. Well, do you have any last ones that you want to mention before we wrap up?
I've mentioned all that I had written down.
Okay. I have a couple more. I'm going to mention one and then we'll close out.
Okay.
But it's 12:18. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Mm. And this kind of brings me back to my example from last week where I was talking about the student that I had in my class and how I really, and I'm not proud of it, but I just wanted to cut him down. Mm-hmm. I wanted to make him feel just as small as he was making me feel. But that's not wisdom. Mm-hmm. And that's not what we were put on this earth to do. So we really have to think about our words. And I know I still work on this because I'm not great at it. But reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So really, and this is something I actually personally pray for, is that God will use my words to encourage and inspire other people.
Yeah.
And it's something I'm mindful of. And I try to, again, I'm not perfect at it. And particularly, you know, Jordan's probably rolling his eyes right now. because that's probably where I fall short the most. Isn't that always, or a lot of times, the case? The people that we love the most just maybe see some of the worst parts. But it is. It's just, we've got to remember how important our words are and how they impact other people.
I think I've mentioned that a great influence in my life was Rich Mullins. He was a contemporary Christian singer-songwriter. And his words always touch me. And there's a song that says, I've gone so far from my home. I've seen the world and I have known so many secrets. I wish now I did not know, 'cause they have crept into my heart. They have left it cold and dark and bleeding, bleeding and falling apart. And everybody used to tell me big boys don't cry. But I've been around enough to know that that was a lie that held back the tears from the eyes of 1,000 prodigal sons. And that, obviously, I can quote that song at the drop of a hat. Sometimes we stray into areas and we find out stuff and it's hard to get out of our heart. Some of that knowledge that we learned in places we shouldn't have been in. But it's possible. Prodigal son returned home. And isn't that not the point of Proverbs? Because wisdom lives with prudence. And wisdom is God. And doesn't God give us this word and say, look at the comparison. Look at where you've been. Look at where you can be. Why don't you just come on home? Why don't you return? And maybe that's what Proverbs is about.
I like it.
Well, then I'm going to close in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that you constantly pursue us in your wisdom. That your wisdom and your love and your righteousness and your justice is light on our path. And that you're leading us home. Help us to get wisdom. Help us in our search. Lord, open your word to us that we know more about you. And Lord, I pray for those that are listening. I pray that you will increase their knowledge and give them wisdom. Lord, I pray for those that are sick. I ask that you touch them in a way that only you can do. And Lord, I am so thankful for all the times that you've pulled me out of the darkness and that you have shined your light in my life. And I thank you. Lord, touch again those that are listening and help us as we prepare to teach your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, guys. Well, thank you for tuning in with us today. We look forward to meeting back here next week. In our next podcast, we're going to talk about good understanding and move on to the book of Ecclesiastes.
Oh, yeah.
Someone that is very much of an Eeyore.
Very much of an Eeyore. Good understanding.
But you know what? Eeyore's one of my favorites, so.
I think I'm Tigger.
Tigger would be my favorite, but I like Eeyore, too. Yeah, I just have a soft spot for Eeyore.
Yeah. Well, you guys have a good week.
All right. Bye.
Bye.